Okay, let's begin. I would like to begin this presentation with the Serenity Prayer. Would people please unmute and join me in the Serenity Prayer? Le Joe, would you like to lead us?
Yeah, a moment of silence to remember the debtor who still suffers. And using the word God as you understand, God. God,
God,
grant us
grant
the
us
serenity
serenity,
to
accept
accept
the things
things
that
as they
cannot
may
change,
change, courage to
courage to
change
change the things
things
that
we
can't
can,
change,
and
and
wisdom to
wisdom
know
to
the
know the
difference.
difference. All right, hello, and welcome to the 2024-2025 financial year report has been given as given by the finance department of the General Service Board of Debtors Anonymous. I want to introduce myself. My name is Matthew E, and I am the chair of the Finance Committee, and I'm also the treasurer of the GSB. I don't know how we're all arranged to on your screen, but below me is Jill B, who is my vice treasurer, also a member of the committee. Roger, who's the chair of the GSB, also sits on the finance committee. And we also have our tech person, Phil. Please wave, Phil. Thank you. And then Rob B is our GSB secretary, and he's also serves on the board with us. And so I will be doing a lot of the speaking. Jill will be doing some speaking as well. And we're going to basically be giving the report about what happened this year financially to DA. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming to this very interesting report, which I hope will not be boring, but will be very informative. I just want to say that it's been a privilege and an honor to serve as treasurer. This is the first year that I've ever been treasurer. And although I was assistant treasurer last year and participated in this webinar, I've never done this sort of thing before as an actual treasurer. So I'm very excited and a little nervous. So I'm going to begin. We've prepared a presentation for you. So I'm going to share my screen in just a moment. Here we go. All right, the 2024-2025 fiscal year. So I just wanted to reiterate again, the Finance Committee consists of me, the chair and treasurer, Jill, vice treasurer, Roger, who is the chair of the GSB and sits on our committee with us. And we also have an appointed committee member named Chris S., who is our secretary. So I just wanted to sort of recap or precap what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to be taking you through the auditor's report from last year. I'll be giving you a summary of what that audit involved and what we were told. I'm going to be talking about the fact that donations are slightly down from the last or down from the last financial year. Literature sales, however, are up slightly from the last financial year. And our prudent reserve is $182,687. What is going on? Why am I not? Oh, okay, here we go. All right, so first off, every year we have a review. We ask for an independent accounting firm with no actual ties to our organization, go in and do an audit of our income, our expenses, our leases, et cetera, and do a review of the state of our finances. And this is a little different than an audit. If we were bigger as a nonprofit, we would get an audit, which is a lot more detailed. But a review, we do not make. I think it's like if you have income of more than $500,000, you have to submit to an audit, even though nonprofits don't pay taxes. But because we are not big enough to merit an audit, we had a pretty extensive review. Basically, what happened was, and what happens every year is Our auditor usually expresses a lot of joy and surprise at the fact that we have absolutely no debt, and that our finances are really quite healthy, and that if other organizations were as healthy as we were, the world would be a very different and lovely place. But having said that, we had basically an independent review, and it came back clean. The accounting firm looked over our financial statements for the years ending June 30th, 2023, and 2024. And as I said, while this wasn't a full audit, the review confirmed that we're in good shape. No major changes were needed, and everything was bound to be in line with generally accepted accounting principles. Now, basically, what I need to explain here is that generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP, is a system of accounting where not just income and expenses are recorded simply, but they also include things like unpaid bills. Like if a vendor, if we did, we were, if we invoice someone and they did not pay their invoices, or if we were invoiced and we didn't pay our invoices, if we have leases, so we know that we owe money, or that we know that we have expenses on the line, for instance, those things are taken into an account. A much fuller picture of our accounting is being used now as we grow as an organization. So generally, our financial health is strong. We have a healthy balance in our bank accounts, and our liabilities are minimal. This means we're in a solid financial position with no red flags. The review also noted that our main lease, our office space, is properly accounted for under the GAAP principles that I just explained. Our income stayed steady. Our digital sales helped that. Revenue was similar to last year. One standout, literature sales went up slightly, largely thanks to digital formats, which are less expensive to produce. Expenses also stayed stable with a drop in cost of goods sold, meaning we spent less to deliver the same services. As I explained, we're now using a GAAP accounting, a step forward. We've officially moved from a modified cash system to GAAP, which gives a fuller picture of our finances, like leases and accrued expenses. It's much more aligned with nonprofit best practices. We're cleaning up how we report finances. We're separating World Service Conference costs into their own category for clarity, and improving how we track interest income and categorize expenses in QuickBooks. This helps everyone, especially volunteers, understand the numbers more easily. Our scholarship and reserve funds are sound. We're handling reserve and scholarship funds responsibly, adjusting them annually based on actual donations and usage. And we're also staying on top of our leases and renewals. We renewed our lease as planned, and the firm is incorporating all required details into the final financial statement. We're also documenting everything thoroughly with the accountant's support. And the name of the guy who did this report is Ryan D. Baldwin, and he's from the firm Bailey Carr CPAs. Right, so here what we're looking at right now is a slide that shows the difference between this year's income and last year's income. So on the left is the income from 2023, 2024. On the right is the pie chart representing the income from 2024 to 2025. So as you can see, contributions from both groups and individuals make up the bulk of our income. And then literature sales accounts for about a third, and then we also accrue interest from keeping our prudent reserve in a high interest bearing but liquid bank account with EverBank. So basically, contributions are down this year. Last year they were $147,464. This year they're $136,535. So basically, what I would like to, what I would like everyone to leave with from this presentation is the fact that groups need to disperse, and individuals need to donate more, so that we can continue to spread the message to the debtor who still suffers. Literature sales, however, are slightly up, as you can see. Like last year, 66,000. This year, 69,000. And as I will mention later, the Daily Reader, A Year of Prosperity and Serenity, just hit the market in last week. So we will be gaining income from that, which will also improve things. And then also our interest rate is at the top there. We get a healthy few thousand dollars from having our bank account and interest-bearing savings account. This is a chart that Jill put together. These are contributions since 2017 over the years. And it's a very interesting thing to look at. And we just thought we would put this slide in. As you can see, in 2017, we are only taking in about $100,000. And then things climb a little bit. And then, as you can see, in 2020, things almost double, basically. And what we imagine happened is that groups that were not sending their delegates to an actual conference, groups that were all of a sudden not paying rent, were giving their money to the GSB. And DA grew as a result of COVID because a lot of meetings moved to Zoom and a lot of people had more access to DA in other parts of the world. So this was sort of a huge growth opportunity that we saw evidence of, financially. But then in 2021, 22, things go down a bit, and maybe this might have something to do with the fact that people are less likely to donate money when they attend a Zoom meeting. And that's an issue that we've been speaking about. Like, how does one get people to, like when an envelope is being passed in a physical room, people generally put money into that envelope. But when a treasurer just makes an announcement and people either Venmo or whatever, and no one really sees that, things can get a little bit less prosperous. So what we've been seeing is that although the numbers are still higher than they were before 2020, they could be even higher. We know that there are resources within the fellowship, to receive more money so that we can do the 12-step work that we do, and hopefully we can sort of think of ways in which to get those numbers up. This slide is a comparison of our literature sales from the previous year to those of this year, and a breakdown of where those sales are exactly coming from. And as you can see, ebooks and e-pamphlets represent a vast share of the income that we get. It turns out that our decision to make books available on Kindle and so forth was actually a really, really good idea. And also, as was pointed out in the audit, they're less expensive to produce. And so our cost of goods sold figures go down as a result of that. So last year we made $66,000 in literature sales, and this year we made $69,000 in literature sales. And we expect those numbers to increase because we just published our Daily Reader, and usually when we have a new title, and I think that it seems as though this Daily Reader has been widely anticipated and will sell very well and will increase those numbers. But as you can see, ebooks and e-pamphlets account for most of our sales. Then books, just books that you would buy hard copies of, maybe through the office. And then actual pamphlets also outsell books a little bit. And then we also pay a bit for shipping and literature, and we also receive a bit of income for audiovisual, and those are Audible books. Our books are available on Audible, and we make a bit of money from that as well. This is our spending. We are comparing last year's spending to this year's spending. As you can see, our spending is up this year. So our payroll went up to 93,000 versus 91,000 last year. We gave a raise to the woman who works in our office, Teresa. Teresa also has an assistant that we also pay and so forth. So our most of what we spend our money on is payroll, largely to keep our office running. Then come board expenses, and I think that the bulk of the explanation for why our spending went up this year mostly as compared to last year largely has to do with the fact that the board spent more money this year than last year. And I would also just sort of briefly explain that when we have our face-to-face meetings, both in February and in August, in the 2023-2024 financial year, we took advantage of number one, we had our face-to-face in an Episcopalian monastery and kept costs down using that facility in LA. But then this year's face-to-face we actually had in the hotel that we're using for the conference. So those numbers are slightly larger because we actually were staying in a hotel and not taking advantage of free rooms. The other thing that happened in 2023-24 was that we had a conference in Newark, and the board, because we, you know, the board took advantage of some free hotel rooms because we had this, like, you know, large amount of people coming in, and the board was able to stay in the hotel. We were able to access that. Post-COVID, a lot of hotels were giving a lot of free hotel rooms and incentivizing the use of hotels for conventions. This year, hotels really are charging for things, and we're not be able to take advantage of that. So we're seeing an increase in expenses largely due to that. I hope I explained that well. Our prudent reserve, now this is kind of a little bit difficult to explain. Essentially, our prudent reserve is based on 75% of the year's expenses as dictated by our spending plan. And our spending plan is dictated by our income. So essentially, last year we took we formulated our spending plan based on the money that we'd made. And we adjusted our spending plan. We adjusted our prudent reserve accordingly to be 196,899 because that was 75% of the income that we were spending. We didn't actually spend that much money, so we actually had a bit of a surplus thanks to that year, which was really quite prosperous. We didn't spend a lot of money. This previous year, as we our spending plan has increased, no, sorry, this year, since our income has decreased, our spending plan has decreased as well. And so we've taken 75% of that, and our prudent reserve has gone down because we have basically taken the extra money and put that into a reserve account, which is specifically to be used. So it's not that we spent our prudent reserve, it's that we actually decreased it because it's only supposed to reflect 75% of the year's expenses. High interest rates have also contributed to the increase in our prudent reserve. And now, Jill, our vice treasurer, is going to speak to the spending plan that we created for the following for this financial year, which was based on the income we received this year. So I'm going to turn the floor over to Jill, our vice treasurer, who's going to take us through the spending plan for this year. Stop sharing.
Yes, thank you, Matthew. I'm Jill. I'm a debtor and I have the privilege of being the assistant treasurer this year. I'm relatively new on the board and finding my way around. This is my first ever webinar of any description. So thank you all for being here. I have requested, yep, got it. Okay. So, what I'm going to do now is share the 2025-26 spending plan with you. I have some notes, so I'll be looking up my notes as we go. So, the financial in for the 2024-25 spending plan, the board decided that instead of trying to estimate income and project what income we might have, we would use the actual income from the previous 12 months. So this is the second year we're doing that. And I think it is a principle of BDA often. People are using at least the previous month's income to spend this month or longer periods than that quarter year. So it is a principle that comes from BDA. So our spending plan is now dictated by the previous year's income. So I'll try to show that for you, to show that to you. If you look at column I, that was the income for the 12-month period from April to March 20, April 24 to March 25. And the figures in that column for income are the figures we now use for our 2025-26 spending plan. So they're the same figures and we use the same total. There is a slight difference because we bring forward some surplus from the previous year and some of the prudent reserve that's released because the income in 20 in that period 24-25 went down, as Matthew has explained, from the previous year. Therefore, our spending plan total has gone down. So in an ideal world, I think, as Matthew said, it would increase by the level of inflation in order for us to maintain the same level of services. But in fact, it's gone down. So there's less funds. And I would say that the nevertheless, and especially since 2020, it was before 2020 that we started getting really global, more an increasingly global fellowship, and that has continued and escalated, really speeded up. So we're doing so much work as we become more global, and more literature is translated into different languages, and we'll have more members. So although the spending plan is going down, the work is actually increasing. And so this year we do have some reserves. I'll just skim down to those actually. We do have some reserves that we've put by in previous years for the work of the board, which we will be leaning on this year in order to keep that work going. Let me see. I don't want to bore you too much with this. I have been immersed in these spreadsheets, which I enjoy, but not everyone enjoys that. So we will be using reserves that were set aside specifically for this purpose, in this current year, and depleting those reserves. Not, I might add, the prudent reserve. We don't need to touch our prudent reserve at this point. It's reserves set aside in specific categories that we will be using. For example, this is here, column H there. This is the cost of goods sold. So this is where we're paying our writers, the cost of publishing books and materials, and the verification for translation, and the original translations themselves are all in there. And the level of translations we've got, we will need to use the reserves to make sure that we can keep doing that work. Bank charges is an interesting one because we're now using different facilities like PayPal, like First Data or Clover, for contributions and other income and outgoings. All of those things have a cost to them. They average around 3% of the transactions. So we end up with some quite large amounts of money paid out in bank charges. One of the actions we're taking this year to keep those costs down because of the reduced income from the previous financial year is we, as a board, we usually have two face-to-face meetings a year, one before conference and one in the winter. And whilst on one level I'm quite happy to not have to fly halfway around the world to go to board meetings, I do know so we've decided that we will have our virtual, unless miraculously the funds are granted. We have chosen to have a virtual board meeting in the winter of 2026 in order to reduce costs. And what I was going to say was that although on one level I'm quite happy not to fly off to a board meeting, I do know that we get so much work done when we meet face to face. It's incredible, the thing, and just incredible the amount of work the board. I'm new to the board, but I see the amount of work that the trustees do, and it is extraordinary. They are doing the work of the fellowship. What do I mean by that? So there's all sorts of, including the literature and all of the legal requirements and the finances, etc. It is a hands-on service position, actually carrying out work as a trustee. So, also next year, usually the office liaison would visit the office, but we are, in order to reduce costs, we found another way to for the liaison to meet with the office staff and meet those requirements. I'm not sure what I need to go through. I do notice that in previous years there were lots of techie kind of costs that we simply didn't have. I don't know if these mean anything to people listening. Sorry, I'm trying to read them. WooCommerce and Constant Contact and Fireflies and Monster, etc. We simply didn't have those costs in the past, and it's just a part of the increasing technological advances and the way that we do manage to reach out more and more to the debtor who still suffers through technology. Okay. Bookkeeping and accounting. Obviously, these are legal requirements. We need a bookkeeper. We need the auditor's review. We have legal requirements and parliamentarian, so they're all required expenses. I'm in column H here. Depreciation, that's remained. Oh yeah, and our insurance, we discovered, especially as we are a more global organization with having world service conferences outside of the US, etc., that we needed to upgrade our insurances, so that level is going up. Obviously there's the expense of running the office, which has not changed, will not be changing much in 25, 26 than it was in the previous year. And payroll. Payroll, as Matthew mentioned, it goes up obviously with inflation, and also last year it was slightly lower because there was a period when we did not have a part-time staff member in the office, so that reduced last year's from the original plan. And we have some fun. So, still looking healthy, still as at the end of June, we have approximately $10,000 of surplus of income over expenses. Always these are healthy, and again, as Matthew mentioned, the CPA, the auditor review, he was just expressing that, most companies, most organizations would love to have our accounts with the surpluses, which are really partly down to us all being debtors in recovery. So we need to keep our prudent reserve up, and we make sure we don't debt, and we pay everything on time. And that is absolutely what we do, and we keep reserves. So that's the reserves again that I showed earlier. And our prudent reserve will go down a little in 25, 26 because our income and therefore our spending plan was down. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill. That was fantastic. And I'm sure there will be questions later. So I will continue with. All right. So this is now sort of the back end of this presentation. I want to talk about some concerns that we have for the coming year. One of our primary concerns is human resources. Four of our trustees are going to rotate off next year, and so the board will be diminished. As Jill pointed out, a lot of this work is carried out by unpaid trustees who we are a working board, and the more people we have on the board, the more work we get done. The less trustees we have on the board, the less work we have done, or we have to replace it with paid employees. So basically, this is a human resource issue. I also serve on the nominations and procedures committee, and we are trying to get more board members on board so that when we rotate off, these four members rotate off, we still have a full board. Another concern of ours is that I've aforementioned the income went down last year, largely primarily from contributions being down. And so we need to think as a fellowship about how meetings can donate. I believe that it was money came in more efficiently when meetings were held physically because an envelope was distributed through the room and there was specifically like a seventh tradition announcement and everyone participated. And lately with Zoom meetings, I think, some people don't have Venmo, some treasurers are uncomfortable to have Venmo. There are some complications that exist that are still out there regarding virtual meetings. And virtual meetings are very popular these days. They have grown the fellowship, but they do not generally generate income. And I know that they could. So we can maybe think about solutions to that. And the Resource Development Committee, as I mentioned, which is now up and running, does speak to that and does a lot of work to think about solutions to that problem. As I said, inflation goes up every year. Inflation has gone up a lot this year. And so it would be really great if our donations were commensurate with inflation, but that is really not the case. However, we have some good news. As I said, last year, a couple of years ago, RDC as a WSC committee completely folded. There were no members interested in serving on that committee, and that committee did not exist. So last year, we put the word out that RDC should come back. And actually, the committee was huge. And I was the liaison for that committee. So I sat in on these meetings, and it was a really robust, productive committee that is really passionate about the work that they're doing, increasing revenue and resources to DA. And so they are back. They will be back this year as well. And that is a really good sign. We also have three new trustees that are bringing our ranks to 11 people. So as I mentioned, four people are rotating off the board, but unfortunately, we were able to pick up three new trustees. The best news of all is that this week, our daily reader, also known as A Year of Prosperity and Serenity, just hit the market. So we are starting to see income generated by those literature sales. One of the things that was really interesting about, the history of AA is that, when the Saturday in the 1930s, when that article in the Saturday Evening Post came out about AA, the office was flooded with requests to, all sorts of questions about AA, how to start a meeting, what to do, what are the traditions, what are the steps, whatever. And there were secretaries answering these letters, and they realized, oh, let's publish a book. And let's, in order to make sure that this book is distributed, we could just make it available in bookstores and people could buy it. And then that is generally how AA pays for everything, is by, selling copies of the Big Book, which is a very briskly, which does very brisk sales and has for many years. And so the lifeblood of most 12-step programs is the publication of literature, which, has two, happy purposes. One is to carry the message of the debtor who's, like how to recover from this really pernicious disease. And is a way of distributing this information throughout the world, but also because we are providing a service, we are also generating income by sales of this literature. So by continuing to develop literature and sell it, we are we're generating income, but we're also carrying the message of DA as DA grows. And right now we're like the best kept secret within the 12-step community, but hopefully with, as our fellowship grows, thanks to literature, and thanks to Zoom meetings, which now make DA recovery available in other cities, parts of the world that previously didn't have meetings, we can grow as a fellowship. And that is a really wonderful, hopeful thing to think about. So with that, I leave you. Thank you so much for listening to me and Jill. It was really wonderful taking you through this presentation. I now, I guess we will take questions from the room if anyone has any questions. And I'm going to stop sharing my screen. And